Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another show. We're kicking it off here. Stay tuned for the very end. We've got a little interview we did with one of our listeners, friend of the show, Lab Monkey, Thomas. Yeah. He's going to be talking a lot about QuakeCon. Really good conversation there. He's talking about Doom, the new Doom game coming out, Fallout 4, everything going on with QuakeCon, which we didn't attend this year, and we really got to do that next year, man. I want to go so bad. But yeah, stay tuned for that. And to kick things off, we're going to play a little game here where, what did we call this? We had a name for this game.
I was calling it Question the News.
Question the News. So we come up with a news article, and then we have like a question that goes along with that. Not necessarily directly related to it, but having to do with the news article. So who wants to go first?
I can jump in. So I just read a little article. The new Tomb Raider is going to be available for PC in 2016. It hadn't been announced yet. It was an Xbox exclusive, but it's going to be a timed exclusive. Comes out PC 2016. That led me to thinking, what is one game or one franchise that is console exclusive that you wish would come out on PC?
Smash Brothers, because it's a couple of reasons. Obviously, it's a great fucking game, but also, you know how they're doing the cross character usage, like Capcom put in Ryu this year. That's like a dream come true.
Yep.
Like they put in Ryu or Ryu, if you want to be technical. You know, Solid Snake was in the last one.
Yep.
And now we're to the point where you could just download new guys. So I'm sure they're going to be putting out new guys with amiibos and making money that way.
Yep.
But if it was on PC, you could add all kinds of new shit, man. Fucking Lara Croft, if you wanted to, and she could have some kind of like rope mechanic getting back on the thing. That'd be awesome.
For sure.
Nintendo seems to lock down their IPs pretty tight. You don't see those. You'll never see a Zelda game on the PC.
Well, but this is a wish. This is a wish. What wish?
And I disagree also. Not that it even looks like they might be going this way, but what Nintendo needs to do is what Sega did. They need to stop making hardware.
Start being software.
And instead of selling, very simply, just to put it really quick, instead of selling games, a lot of games on the least sellingest console, sell on the other three major selling platforms, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the business of this stuff, but I assume there's a reason they do it that way. What's that zombie game that's not really a zombie game?
Last of Us?
Yeah. That's one, and I think that's the answer to this question every time it comes up, but that's the one game that I do feel like I've missed out a little bit on, because it's been years, but still, like, that game...
I have it here if you want to pick it up and play sometime.
I wouldn't even know how to use a controller.
Yeah, I listened to this dude, and I was talking to him, and he's like, yeah, so my girlfriend, she left for the weekend, like a four-day weekend, and work cleared up, and it just happened, you know... I hadn't played a video game in months, if not years, like a serious video game. I was like, okay, what am I going to do? He had a PS3. He did his research. He grabbed The Last of Us, played 16 hours straight and beat it. And he said he cried like a little girl.
it was such a
good gaming story, because like gamers have gaming stories. Dudes that play one game a year, that it's even more special.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, if you go a long time without playing a game, it makes that time you have more... special. It's like right now, I'm not working right now. I don't go back to work till the end of August. So I have all this time. I'm playing all these games. But when I'm at work and my playing time is so limited, like that little bit of time that I play feels so much more valuable and so much more appreciated than right now, where it's just like, I can play anytime I want.
Are you playing a lot of games, Bob?
I'm playing a lot of Heroes.
Every time I want to play one of his games, he's on there, so...
I'm farming cards, dude. Just send me a text and let me know, because usually I'm just farming cards.
Because I got about three or four things on your list that I told I was going to play, including Duke Nukem from last week.
And there was another recommendation that I had for you, and I can't remember what it was. Maybe it'll come later in the show.
All right, you said something last week.
Yeah, but this was something else.
Oh, okay. Bob, what do you got?
Well, can I
answer mine? Nobody cares about you.
I actually thought about those two, and I would have said those. Those were probably one and two on my list, but number three, I guess, would be Uncharted for PS4.
Did you honestly have to like move down your...
Yeah, I was going to say that's cool. Smash Brothers, and then I was going to say...
Uncharted is great. I've never played a single Uncharted game just because they've always been on consoles.
Yep.
Yeah.
And... You really don't, from the looks of it, I'm like, okay, it's a guy, but it's Tomb Raider, but it's a guy. But, you know, there's probably a lot more to that game that I'm not just seeing on the surface.
Aspect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are really good in that game.
Yes.
And it's just done really well. That's the culmination, is it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's got the next question?
Bob, go ahead.
All right. I read an article about confirming that Razer bought Ouya, the failed open source video game system. And my question that follows up on this really doesn't have anything to do with that article directly, but Razer is one of those brands that I have been pretty loyal to in the past, not so much recently, but I thought I'd just throw the question out there. Are there any brands that you guys are loyal to? I mean, PC gamers, not like console gamers, but PC gamers always have to get hardware. And you always, you know, it's always, people always ask me, you know, what kind should I get? There's so many options out there.
Let me back up for a sec, though. Can you explain what Ouya is? Because I don't think I fully understand.
Ouya was a gaming system that I think had a Kickstarter where it was, they were using the Android operating system and it was supposed to be completely open source, and it totally failed, unfortunately.
So why would they buy it just recently?
Because it failed and it was really cheap.
They probably have some smart ideas.
I think it was a mobile app thing that where you could play mobile apps sort of on your TV, right?
Yeah, it was like a small little box, like an Apple TV that you hook up to your TV. It's got a little remote, and you can play games on it.
Have you guys watched Silicon Valley?
No.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes.
Yeah, the whole premise is about like he writes this stupid program, but it's not the program that's good. It's the underlying
algorithm. Yeah, he writes a program that searches for music. Yeah,
and so it's been maybe something like that with Ouya, where
I've been wanting to check it out.
There's a diamond in the rough.
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure there's something useful in there, and that's why they bought it.
Oh, yeah, Logitech. I've never had an issue with Logitech in my whole life.
Didn't you have a problem with the headset, Logitech?
Well, the headset's starting to die, but I've had it like 3 years now. Okay. So,
and I knew Logitech would come up because I really like them, and that's what I'm buying more now. And did you notice they're changing their name to Logi? That's going to be the new name of Logitech.
L-O-G-I?
Yeah.
I would like to rescind my Emmy.
Dude, what a dumb name.
Holy shit.
I mean,
just call me Emmy from now on, guys.
I already do call you Em a lot of times on text because of me, those like five characters, six characters. Yeah. That's way too long.
Here's the problem with my name. It's way too many syllables, man.
Yeah.
For such a short name.
Oh, four syllables, five letters. That doesn't make any sense. Nobody else has that.
It could be worse, dude. Everyone could be calling you Bob.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And you're not, you're more like a Sven. Huh?
A Sven?
Yeah.
What?
No, yeah. Sven. No.
Yeah, what's wrong with Sven? It's got an S then a V right after it.
I don't know.
That is cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
As far as Bobby's questions.
No. More names for Bob that aren't Bob.
I want to call him Bobster because...
Oh, jeez. Now this is a derivative of Bob.
Yeah. But anyways, I don't really, because I am a bargain shopper a lot of times when it comes to PC components. So I look for value, and so that tends to change. But Razer is one though that I really like. I have the Razer mouse that I use, and it's,
you know, what's funny is they have terrible reviews online, but I've been buying Razer for years and I've never had a problem. I don't own any of their products right now. If there are any brands that I'm somewhat loyal to, I mean, it's just because of the quality. I'm really happy with EVGA video cards.
Don't you like your keyboard?
Oh, the DAS keyboard, D-A-S keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, aren't you a big fan of that one?
Yeah. But I don't recommend that to people. I always tell people, if you're going to get a case and you want to spend some money and you want to get some real quality, Corsair. Corsair makes the best cases, in my opinion, right now.
I don't know what it is, guys. Like, I'm not very much fanboy for anything, really. But
or conversely, you're a fanboy for everything. That's probably the better way to say it.
But not so much with hardware.
That makes my point even stronger. Razer just strikes the wrong chord with me.
They're very flashy. Lots of lights, LEDs.
Yeah, there's that. And their mouses, to me, feel super light and small. They almost feel like the mouse that comes with Windows. Okay. Or with a PC. Like, for me, just the feel of it. Like, it feels very important.
Yeah.
Your mouse is really heavy.
Yeah, and I love it.
Well, you have a weighted mouse. You have adjustable weights.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people do like those.
Explains my traps. That's why my back looks like a barrel of snakes.
Okay. You got your question, though, right?
Yeah. So,
we're going to get a barrel, by the way?
Because they're all together and they're coiled up together.
Okay.
Because otherwise they'd be stretched out.
So a barrel see-through?
Look like your back.
Not like a tortoise shell back?
Right. No. What?
Tortoise shell?
No, man. You don't want a tortoise shell. That's a Hunchback of Notre Dame has a turtle back.
I'm just all saying.
Right. All right. Sorry, I have to explain logic to Chad. We're going to get into it, guys. So...
You're prefacing this question?
This is going to go deep. I'm sorry. It's PEDs, performing enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the UFC or MMA, and it's a huge problem over there. And it brings up tons of questions and brings in other organizations and a lot of testing. And it's very expensive. Now it's looking at, it's arrived. It's already at esports. ESL, because of the statements of one player, he just flat out said, yeah, I was on Adderall the whole time. You could tell if you could hear me talking. Mm. Adderall, for those who don't know, it helps you focus. But that's not what it's standard for, but that's what it does for normal people. People without ADHD.
ADHD, yeah.
So now they're going to do random testing. They're going to have some sort of promotion for an anti-doping promotion for prevention. They're going to have a prevention wing of their attack to try to curb it. I've thought really long and really hard about this. Chad and I had probably an hour, like, legit discussion on, like, what we really thought about this. And we were talking about sports at the time. But it's the same thing here, right? I mean, apples and oranges, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Except for in the UFC, you could do more bodily harm to your opponents as opposed to here where you're just getting an advantage. Bob, I've never heard your ideas about this, so you want to let me know.
But your question
is... I don't have a question, really. I have my statements, and they're really...
Way to screw up this... we do one activity, and you're screwing it up.
I have really extreme, thoughts on this. So I've never heard anybody else with my thoughts. So I just want to think overall, what are your thoughts about PED use in gaming?
Bobby, you want to jump in
or
first?
Chad, you go first since you have a more wild thought out. I'm just dumping a huge bomb on.
So I'm having a little bit. So obviously steroids and performance enhancing drugs in physical activities, there's a vast difference. I'm wondering what the advantage is for doing Adderall compared to not doing Adderall. We might be talking 2 or 3% better.
From some other stuff that I've heard and read. You can see like a 200-point increase in SAT scores.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not to fuck around. It focuses you in. You can ignore the crowd. You know, you're doing one thing.
Gotcha. What was that?
And what if there's a market for it, there will be a supply. So they're only going to get stronger and better, right?
What's that movie, Limitless?
Yeah, Limitless. Exactly.
Is that like that?
Yeah.
I'm for banning this stuff. My thing is, I don't think, like, the NFL and the Olympics, they have this large money and cash flow to be able to do that. I don't think any of these major league gaming organizations have the cash flow to actually do this.
Well, I don't know if ESL runs all of the Dota and the Dota and the League of Legends stuff. Is that them?
I'm not sure.
Because if they do, they've got plenty of money.
Well, Dota, I think, is going straight through Valve, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I guess...
Welcome to the speculation cast.
I'm for them controlling this and trying to limit it. I just worry...
If they can't
do it well, then they shouldn't be doing it at all. Because it would be unfair if they catch one person out of 10 who's doing it. You know, like, you got to be able to catch the majority of people doing it.
Right.
And as people get more advanced and they're doing getting into other stuff, it becomes harder and harder. And then are you talking about weed? Are you talking about, like, alcohol? How are you going to test it if people are doing it from home? Because this is a thing that you don't even have to be on site to be able to
participate. And what you end up with is an arms race. Okay, Adderall, we're going to test for that. Then some guy is super smart.
Yeah.
And then, oh, wait, it's a undetectable version of Adderall.
Yeah.
And it'll just keep going back and forth.
Well, and that's what they're already doing with PEDs for the pro sports.
And for, by default, the drugs are always one step ahead because they need to learn what to test for. So,
Bobby, Bob, what's your thoughts?
Here's your bombshell. Go for it. You can say you don't give a...
I don't even really see it being that big of a problem. I mean, maybe eventually, but Chad's right. I don't think you're going to get a huge improvement in gaming on it. I think there might, if they do start testing, there might be a little bit of a gray area, because what if you have someone who takes Xanax for anxiety? But Xanax, a lot of people also, you know, they kind of abuse that drug because it mellows you out. You know, anytime, I got friends who, anytime they go into a social situation, a bar, whatever, they pop a Xanax. And just being able to mellow yourself out before you get on stage in front of a bunch of people and play for a whole lot of money, I mean, that could give you an advantage. But at the same time, maybe someone actually suffers from anxiety and needs that. So I don't know. There's some tough issues. Yeah.
Now,
and the other thing is, there's so many different organizations out there. Like we said, is Dota 2 part of ESL, MLG, all these different ones.
Right.
Until there's standardization across the board, you're not going to have, you know, you're going to have to go into the tournament saying, okay, can I take Adderall? Can I not? Like, it's going to be like, it's kind of the Wild West a little bit right now.
Well, as it gets bigger, I'm sure they'll have some sort of form factor or some sort of default or standardization all of this.
So my theory on this, and this came to me not like, oh, my quick reaction. I had to really, because I'm so much into the UFC, and they're having a war right now, really, within the fighters and everything like that. I had to think about this over and over and over and over. And like, what's my real stance on this? And my stance is that at least, you know, maybe we'll throw up a discussion forum, is that race cars are the epitome of what a car can be. And a lot of the technology that is adapted for those vehicles all trickles down into the regular car manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So, and they're pushing the upper limits and then trickle down. We're talking anti-lock brakes, seat belts, harnesses,
airbags,
all that stuff all comes from the extreme. So I say, legalize it all. Fucking do whatever the fuck you want. People will die, but people die in race cars all the time. I'm not kidding. If you want to be the leader, do whatever you want. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. The thing is, I don't think you can control it, because cheaters will cheat.
Yeah.
And by default, a cheater learns to cheat the system. That's what they do. So you can try to keep a cap on all of this, but you're only going to keep a cap on the guys that aren't good at cheating. So I say it's uncontrollable, so let it be uncontrolled and just go. And plus, that'll just allocate more money for the for everything else.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's why I said I had an extreme. And if you don't want to compete, hey, I don't want to play these guys. Okay, well, you're not going to be a pro. But if you're really, really good, maybe you can compete with the guys that are on drugs. I know, it sounds crazy, but here's the other
side. So what you're saying is everybody should take drugs.
I'm saying that
everybody who wants to compete should take drugs. That's your bottom line here. Well, if you want to compete in a professional atmosphere, you need to take performance-enhancing drugs.
Some guys are just going to be naturally gifted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people taking drugs, will just get up to the level.
I don't know if that sends the right message.
Right. But look at the trickle-down effect. Maybe if we keep this up, if all these mental athletes is what we called them before, if all these mental athletes are all pushing drugs as far as they can, maybe we will get a limitless pill sooner than we would have otherwise. If you legalize it, then they don't have to be making this in their bathtub. They could do it. If Pfizer was in charge of making a smart pill, they'd have one in 5 years if it was legal.
Well, Adderall is legal.
That's not its intended use.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It's supposed to.
We could have a debate about this for hours.
That's why I said.
And, yeah.
Somebody throw up a fucking discussion. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. And I've never tried Adderall, but I'd be curious to know what it kind of does.
I'm on it right now.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's talk about some games. So big story this week is definitely Rocket League. We all got a chance to play this, and I think we're all in agreement. It is an awesome game. A lot of people playing this on Twitch, a lot of good reviews.
This exploded out of nowhere because this has been on consoles for a little bit. This wasn't a simultaneous release.
What?
I had no idea. Yeah.
Huh.
But it hit PC and kind of just exploded, at least in the PC arena.
And you said that some of that is due to Twitch, right?
Yeah. So a lot of the top streamers started playing some Rocket League, and I think it kind of built some exposure to Rocket League, and then people have started kind of going in, and I'm hearing this all over the place from all sorts of different people.
So very quick, Rocket League is a you can choose. 2v2, 3v3.
I think.
It's mostly 3v3, though.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what everybody plays is 3v3. If you get more than that, it kind of turns into Destruction Derby. But it's basically soccer with cars.
Yeah, pretty much. And they did a really nice job with picking up boosts. Like, you have power-ups, but there's only one.
It's boost. It's boost.
And then using that boost, there's kind of like resource management, like very small. It's very quick.
Pick up and play. Pick up and play.
What I need to stress about this, my number one thing, is fun factor. It is fun as shit. I was yelling at these guys. They were yelling back. We were so excited. Every single play seemed so important.
Yeah.
Like, you're flying around. Bobby scored on our own goal several times.
Yeah. We found a game Bobby was not good at.
Yeah, finally.
I was having some technical issues in my defense. You know what's really strange is I found out what was causing that problem. I mean, I was having really bad lag, literally getting 15 frames a second. I had a PD or a EPUB reader open in the background, and when I closed it, it all went away. It was the weirdest thing.
Guys, the sun was in my eyes. Yeah, sorry.
So, I didn't want to like this game. I heard all the hype, and I was like, soccer with cars, what's the big deal? It's like a mini game, right?
Yeah.
We've seen this in
right.
other games that are racing games.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that Ace
Arena. Yeah, right. Arena Combat Evolved.
Weird
hockey game.
Or whatever. But here's the deal. I really liken this to Fumble Core. This is similar to Octodad in my mind. Because if you're just playing soccer, we wouldn't be having the fun. Mm. The fun comes from the difficulty. It's like trying to play soccer with ice skates.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just turn and get the ball. You have to drive around.
Or what I was trying to say about Artemis. It's like, it's turning relatively simple things more complicated to make more fun.
Exactly.
Right. Or a three-legged race.
And that's what I think of as Fumble Core.
Yeah.
Because if you're just walking Octodad around there and picking up objects, it's not that fun.
Yeah.
But if you're struggling because the controls are difficult, it makes it more enjoyable. And that's what I felt like in this. Like, they did it really well. It's really clean. The graphics are on point. The whole thing is done just really well. Yeah. But the fact that it's these cars that you're trying to drive around adds that fun factor. And when you do, they've got all these oh boy moments, that just happened.
Oh, or, shit, there's a...
exactly.
Oh, fuck,
yeah.
Chad, get there, Chad. or I'm right in the middle, I'm ready for a setup. By the way, it never comes.
Yeah, there's no
not
cross.
From these guys anyway.
Ever.
But god damn, it's fun. Bob, you got anything to say?
I mean, even hitting the ball is sometimes a challenge.
It's very physics-based.
Yeah.
A lot of the trouble is learning the controls. And once you do, it's a lot of fun. Very pick-up-and-play. Each round is about 5 minutes long. You can play online or locally. You can do a season just single player, which I'm having a lot of fun just doing the season. But what I love about this game is that it's a simple concept, a simple idea, and at its core, it's very fun. And they leave it at that. They don't overdo it. They don't make it fun by, oh, you have to level up and then you can unlock all these other things. They do have cosmetics that you can unlock, but there's nothing that improves your gameplay. There's no DLC. There's no microtransactions. It's not complicated in any way. It's just cars playing soccer. Such a simple idea. And that's the best games are like that, that are just so simple and so fun at their core that it doesn't matter what you throw on there. It doesn't matter that the graphics are really good on this. It's just fun to play.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think all three of us were appreciative, that this is a $20 game. It's not free to play. Every time after you get out of a game, you unlock something because they literally have hundreds of unlocks, but they are all cosmetic. Like, and you can make your car look cool and have smoke come out of it and have a peace sign on your dashboard or whatever. And Bobby had.
Flag.
Yeah.
Flag.
And, but
the
all of that
are cute is what they are.
They're all just cosmetic. Yeah. And it's fun to get them, but it's not like I'm pissed off that I just went up against a guy that's 10 levels higher than me, right? Because it's all just skill based.
This game, so a lot of times I think we really stress around here that we love good concepts. But a lot of times, a good concept doesn't really mean something out of the blue that you've never seen before. Maybe a concept is a perfect menagerie of things you know that work, right?
Yeah.
Well, and it's not that this is just such a simple game. That's not just it, too. It, the physics in this game really play well. It's not impossible to score a goal, but it's not easy. And it's not
guaranteed.
Scripted either. It's not like if you just get here and do this, that is a guaranteed goal. Like, you hit that ball, and depending on what angle your car is, that really determines what direction it's going to go. So sometimes you hit it just a little to the right and it goes in a direction you didn't foresee. So it's got a lot of unpredictability that makes it a lot of fun.
Kind of like Arkanoid, you know, when you're trying to hit it on the edge of the Arkanoid bumper to get it to bounce at a weird angle. That's kind of
It's like playing pool almost. Yeah. Like, you're trying to put a little English on it, but yeah, it is a fun game, and it's so easy to pick up and play. I almost liken it to TF2, where it's like I got 10 minutes, I could get a game in real quick.
Mm-hmm. This is 1/10 the difficulty of TF2,
yeah,
I would say. But I can't stress enough how and just fucking fun and exhilarating it is.
And none of us are particularly huge soccer players or
football. But you do see in the names, a lot of soccer fans are playing this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I think there's a lot of dudes that have Football Manager 2000.
Yep.
And they got FIFA.
Yep.
And they got this game, you know?
And the reason I bring this up is because I don't want the listeners to think that, oh, I gotta like soccer to like this game. Like, we were not particularly soccer fans, but we were still having a blast playing this game.
Yeah, I think absolutely everybody who played this game will enjoy it. I can't think of one person that would just be like, no.
If you're a gamer, there's no way you're not going to like it.
Yeah, this is just a fun game. And $20 is a perfect price point for this.
Yeah, it is.
Especially since there's no microtransactions.
Yeah.
Which I mentioned halfway through.
You get the whole.
And I was like, wait, you could just unlock things naturally like you used to?
Yeah.
No, it's fucking great.
It has an old school feel to the game, huh?
It does.
Just like simple.
Yeah, yeah. Straightforward. Maybe a little super dodgeball in there. Yeah. Like, for some reason, that was bouncing around my head.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Right on.
So, what else do we play?
I guess I played everything this week.
Bobby and I played some Skyforge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me run down my entire list, and then maybe I'll put you guys in the middle.
Okay.
I played 60 Seconds, which, all right, maybe you guys should go. I have my notes up.
It's about your sex life? Is that what it is?
Oh, hey now. Maybe three of my sex lives. this is half This War Is Mine and half Octodad.
What?
Yeah. It's
Remember when we were talking mashups?
Yeah.
I never would have put those two together.
It's really, really strange. Really, really strange. So basically, there's two games in one. Two game modes in one. And then you can play them individually, but really the game is meant to be played together. What happens is the Reds, the Soviets, are dropping a bomb on 50s America.
Okay.
You have 60 seconds to grab all the supplies you can, throw them in your bomb shelter, including your wife, daughter, and son, which all have weights. Like, your daughter is really heavy. And I'm starting to think she's not worth it. Cause she's not good. Cause 60 seconds, man, I was like, 60 seconds? That's more time than most people think. But, yeah. You know, you're a big fat American dude and you don't get around too good. So it's like water, soup, everybody drink. That's the only food. Water, soup, the family. But then there's all these like random items. And here's my, the strongest point of the game and the weakest point. It's all RNG of what happens once you're in the shelter, right?
Gotcha.
And that random number, random stuff happens. And it's also random whether or not you have the equipment to get you. Do you have a gun? Do you have poison? Do you have,
I'm wondering why you need radio? A gun in a,
people come through the door. All kinds of stuff happens.
Oh, okay.
You can't see any of it. It's all text-based. But you can see the results on their faces and on their bodies. It's just one screen, really.
Okay.
It's very, very, very basic. But I only say Octodad because it looks a lot like Octodad. It's not exactly FumbleCore, but it's not handling great either.
And, is it because it's just badly designed? Yeah. Or is it intentional?
No, I think it might be intentional. Like, you're frantic, right?
Okay.
You're trying to grab shit. I think it might be. I hope it's intentional.
Okay.
It's very fumbly. So you get down there, and then just like fucking This War Is Mine, you need to watch your people slowly die and starve and shit like that.
But you get the fat daughter to eat if she dies, right?
I always send her first.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway. The only thing I can, it's not a great game. It's fun. I don't know what it goes for. I was playing off somebody's account. If you can get under maybe $2, I would definitely play it. Under $5 would be pushing it. But what's interesting, what I didn't like was you randomly need certain random items.
Mm.
So it doesn't really matter what you grab. You need the radio though. No matter what, you need the radio. But it doesn't really matter what you grab. It's always random which of those items you're going to need. So it's a combination of the random generator plus the random shit you grabbed that happened to be close to the door.
So you can't solve things in multiple ways? Like you need the gun to solve a problem?
Yes, you can, but some only needs one. Like,
oh.
Yeah, so, and there's not a lot of options. Like, usually most things are resolved in one or two. It's either yes or no.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's not a skill-based game, except for those 60 seconds, which are really important. But a lot of that, again, comes down to
randomness.
To randomness, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but it's not a great game. Also,
how much was this game?
I don't know. 60 seconds? Oh, you gotta tell
you. He played it off another account.
Yeah, okay. Thanks again to Team Tom, who's got all the games. It's awesome. I can't see the show notes. I can't talk anymore.
I know. That's why I did that.
Okay.
I got a new video card. I feel like I should mention that. A 980 Ti. Right. My 690 is up for sale on eBay, and it's got a bid for 180 right now, so it looks like I'll be getting a new headset fairly soon, too. Or possibly a new mic. I think I might actually get a mic. But I got the new video card, and I kind of feel like Emilio did when he got his new video card recently. Like, I'm really not noticing a huge difference in graphics in a lot of games, but there's no lag. I turn up all the settings. I max out all the settings on like Rise, Son of Rome. I wasn't able to run that with super sampling up to 2, so I maxed it all out. It looks just about the same, but no lag. I really need a new monitor with a higher resolution to get something out of this, I think. And that's when I'm really going to notice it.
The 4K one?
Not 4K, but a 1440p
gotcha.
One between 4K and 1080p.
Bob, what does TI exactly stand for?
I was wondering that. I was thinking about that, and all I can think of is that rapper, T.I. He's still around, isn't he?
Yeah, that's totally going to be
He's in and out of jail, but yeah. He is. I heard the 950s are being rumored to come out soon, which is like the midline NVIDIAs. Do you know anything about them?
I haven't heard anything yet, but yeah, they're probably going to come out, because they've already come out with like their flagships, so they're probably going to start scaling back and coming out with the ones for people who don't want to spend quite as much, maybe around the $200 price range. That's a really popular price range for a video card. I think they sell most of those. RAM 3D Mark original score was 11,900. With the new video card, it is 14,500. Wow. So pretty big increase for upgrading the card. Have not overclocked it at all, and I don't think I will. It's a super clocked one with the back plate. Like, I got the fancy one, EVGA, but I don't think I'm going to overclock. Just let it do its thing. It's already factory overclocked, and I prefer those.
And in case you didn't get it totally, you can actually have Bobby's graphics card.
That was he'll sign it for you, too.
Yeah, Bobby's monster rig for so long. He pushed that thing maybe a little harder than it should have been.
Yeah.
But I put that on the eBay listing, too. I'm like, I used the hell out of this thing, but I never overclocked it, and it's always ran great, never had a single problem. And I bought that card. I bought that 690 December 2012. That's the longest I've ever had a graphics card ever in my entire life.
It so there you go. Yeah. It's got his blood, sweat, a little bit of cum all over it.
Wow.
Ugh. Gross.
All right. What else are we talking about?
Going back to 60 seconds, that game is $9.99 on Steam. Just to throw that out there.
Whoa. No.
Not worth it.
No.
$2 or $3 is your limit, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
$5 would be pushing it.
What else? A couple of these other little ones. Do you want to go through those?
Sure. I got back into Heavy Bullets for one day. I played it probably 2 or 3 hours straight.
I don't see the appeal.
It's so much fun. It's a roguelike kind of, cause you can kind of invest into your next run, but that's pretty much it. The levels are randomly generated. Sure. It looks kind of funky. If you don't
not
like
that funky, it looks terrible.
No, man, it looks fucking funky and like psychedelic and it's cool. The music's cool.
A lot of neon.
A lot of neon, like
blocky,
pixelated,
yeah,
but 3D,
yeah,
not 2D.
What really came out to me this time is if you need to practice your point and click twitch abilities, this is the game. If you want to do it offline, not confident in your TF2, not confident in your Counter-Strike, play some Heavy Bullets. You really need to hit tiny. Sometimes your target is like 3 pixels wide. And so you gotta hit that shit without getting hit. And even though it's like AI, I really enjoy it. I can't get past the first boss. If you can, let me know how to do it. Cause I threw a mega bomb at it the other day and it didn't work out. But yeah, I'm digging that game for sure.
You know, that reminds me of the game that I was gonna suggest, but it was actually a suggestion for you and not for Chad. I played, Heavy Bullets a little bit. Because you had recommended it.
Yeah.
Immediately after playing it, I'm like, I really want to play Ziggurat again, which is a first-person shooter roguelike. And it's got that old-school game feel to it. And you go from room to room and take out bosses. But I don't think Chad would like that one, but I think you would, Emilio.
So what did you think of Heavy Bullets? How far did you get, first of all?
Not very far, just the first level. No, and I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it. And it's I would compare it a little bit.
It gets hotter and more fun.
Yeah.
Harder and more fun. Legend of Korra, I talked about it 3 weeks ago. I actually beat it last week, but I didn't bring it up. So refreshing to have a real boss battle. This battle went on for like 15 minutes, and the guy had multiple stages, and he was a character that would have fit perfectly into the TV show, but you never saw him or mentioned him, so they fit him into the canon perfectly. And yeah, there was a tiny little twist at the end, which I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome. I can't think of a more memorable boss battle recently. Yeah, yeah, the boss battle was awesome. Oh, and then you get to go full Avatar state, which I won't get into it too much, but you get to use all your powers at once as opposed to you really feel all the power that they say that they bestow on you. You know, some games, like, oh, here's a Mario star. You can go fucking crazy. And this one, like, it graphically represents how powerful you are at the time. And you're like a world beater. You know, you can rip the world apart. That strong.
How long did it take to complete the entire game?
Maybe 6 hours of gameplay, something like that.
Six hours.
Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff in there for replay value and stuff. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Tell me about Skyforge.
Yeah.
Skyforge. You know, after playing this a second time with Chad, I noticed that there really aren't a lot of areas where you go and do traditional quests like in other MMOs. It's more like I don't think you guys ever played it, but Dragon Nest was an MMO that I played where you just enter an instance and it's like doing a dungeon. You can do it by yourself or with other people, and you run through killing mobs, and then you kill the boss, and then you go back to some sort of hub, some sort of central station where you can repair armor.
D&D was Dungeons and Dragons was like that too.
The original Guild Wars was also, right?
I never played it.
Actually. I didn't play the original, but that's what I heard it was like.
Just smart, by the way. Why build all this? Well, it
kills
the immersion.
It kills the immersion.
It gets a little repetitive after a while, too. That's what killed it for Dragon's Nest for me. It's just after a while, it became the same old thing, and it felt more like a grind. It felt like you're doing the same quest over and over again.
This game is weird. It doesn't follow the traditional MMO format. There's a lot of like currency that you have to like get. They kind of have talent trees, but it's not really talent trees. It's just one line, basically.
Different types of currencies?
Or just one? And so they've got like three different currencies. Like one might cost 50 of the green one, and then the next node costs 75 of the orange one. So they've got these currencies, and then you have currencies to upgrade your item slots. And so there's just a bunch of currencies, and you're earning stuff doing everything you're doing, but it could be like you're earning 50 of one and 25 of another. So they've got all these like currencies going off, plus they've got credits or whatever that they've got for money. So it's just kind of weird. And then when you log in every day, you get daily bonuses by getting more of these currency stuff, but you don't really know which currency is good, which currency is bad, you know, which ones you're going to need to get more of. Or how to even earn more. Like, you're just following along the quests and just going through it.
Do you think currencies are two or more currencies always put in so people lose track of how much real actual money they're spending?
Well, none of this equates to money. Like, I didn't spend... Like, this is all, like, in-game...
But could you?
You could spend it on...
You can buy a premium account and then you earn more, but you don't...
And couldn't you buy boxes or something?
You can spend your currency on item slots.
Bobby talked about it for about 5 minutes last episode. You're talking about it about 5 minutes now. Neither of you guys can nail down this game.
It is really interesting. And you start off and you only have three classes to start with.
Right.
But then when you hit this level, all of a sudden, there's, what, 18?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Something like that.
Wow. But they show them to you before you can actually get these other classes.
Yeah. What do you mean? They have a quest where you go into like the trainer where it's like a virtual world and they're all sitting there and you can try them out and it'll go through.
Okay. I kind of feel like we've talked too much about a game, but without knowing, is it good?
I don't know because I'm not too into MMOs.
Let's not get into it if it's a bad game. There's better options.
I don't think it's a bad game. One, it's free, so there's no downside to picking it up and trying it out. Two, it's trying different things, which I appreciate and respect it for. Three, it is action-oriented, meaning you're not tab-targeting, pressing 1, 2, and 3. It's a lot of left and right clicks and stuff like that. But it's different. Like Bobby's was doing a combo system where he'd do left, left, right.
Right, right.
Mine isn't like that at all.
Oh, cool.
I'm doing one action as your like basic attack, which powers up my other moves and can reset cooldowns, so I have to pay attention to them.
How much better is Trove?
It's different. I'm actually enjoying Skyforge, and I've been trying to play it a little bit, but every time I try to play it, their servers are down because it's still in beta.
It's pretty tough to get in. I had a lot of issues trying to get in.
So
Trove is getting a lot of press.
Yeah.
People are really liking it, so we weren't the only ones.
Good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just like... You guys don't... You seem unsure, I guess.
And it's weird. It's got a very Japanese feel where it's like future, but then they're dressed like Roman soldiers.
What about the real question? Titty?
No.
Funny thing about that in this game...
Although you can dress pretty scandalously.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there are. I don't know if this is just... It can't just be with me. Whenever you talk to someone, it goes into kind of a cutscene, a lot like the Old Republic.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that kind of feel to it. But whenever you talk to a woman, her boobs immediately bounce into place, like the physics. And even Chad mentioned something about the boob physics in this game. But I just noticed them like lock into place and then they just kind of jiggled for a second and stopped. And like every woman I talked to, that happened.
Let's go physics, dude.
The physics in this game is silly. Like, they're made out of, like, it's a bag of water, not like a gel. It's like a bag of water, that they're just like flopping around. It's like, yeah, because the main character that I picked is a woman, naturally, because I'm going to stare.
So you probably know better than me.
Yeah, if I'm going to stare at a character, it should probably be a woman. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm noticing that a lot. But it's good. I would say if you're interested in an MMO, give it a try, because it does do some different things.
Yeah. All right, so are we ready for listener questions?
Yeah. Yeah, another one from Lab Monkey. I think he's...
He's trying to just join the
Yeah, team. Yeah. He's going to fly in for a special interview. But I guess I should read it because you killed it last time, Bob. What are your favorite settings for games? He says that Cyberpunk
like
is
themes?
Like, yeah, like settings, you know, like as you would in a play. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your setting? He says Cyberpunk and space, much like... Deus Ex and Mass Effect. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I hate is fantasy. Like, anytime I play a game and it starts going on about, like, wizards and, like, there's always something that'll set me off. Like, what is it? I can't remember the exact word, but any of that kind of stuff, like Lord of the Rings type of deal, I cannot stand. I don't know. That's just not my deal. But I'll tell you what I do love. Dinosaurs. I mean, come on.
We should have known this, honestly.
We talk about all the same shit. We know each other's personalities. Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
Not at all.
Well, I do like the space theme, but it's been done to death. But yeah. Dinosaurs, like, every time there's a dinosaur game, I'm like, all right, I'm paying attention.
It's the only reason he liked Orion Dino Horde. Exactly. Because it had space and dinosaurs.
Space and dinosaurs, yeah. And it's a miracle that I haven't bought Ark Evolved yet. I mean, that's right up my alley. But
it's kind of weird because... he reviews some game involving dinosaurs every week. We've just never noticed.
Yeah,
last week was
right
Jurassic World, right?
He did. I have put in quotation marks.
There are bad dinosaur games out there, and it's really unfortunate when that happens. Yeah. Primal Instinct.
The Hunter Primal?
No, not the Hunter Primal. That one, I mean, wasn't too bad, but there's one that's an asymmetric PvP game where you play people versus dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
And they came out with like a newer version of it that I haven't played, but the original one I think was Primal. I'm going to look it up. It was like Primal Instinct, and it wasn't that good, unfortunately.
No, but I played it after it had been redone.
Dinosaurs, wow. He's never said, hey guys, you want to play some dinosaur games? Like nothing.
But the
Primal
setting
Carnage.
The setting would be prehistoric.
Oh, that's a...
Yeah.
What? Isn't that a 2D fighter?
No, you're thinking of
Primal Rage. Which is
how about you, Amelia? What setting do you like?
The one that Bobby likes to shit all over is I think it's fantasy.
Skyrim. There you go.
Yeah. Jeez, it's not like I'm crazy for fantasy, but I feel like there's so much wiggle room there. You do whatever you want, but I'm also really drawn to, even though I haven't immersed myself into it, the Shadowrun series seems to just take everything and just fuck it all together, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all like a big hodgepodge of everything cool, well, or nerdy or geeky.
Yeah.
But like all in one. Why differentiate? We got sci-fi, we got space, we got fucking fantasy. That sounds really appealing, even though I haven't played through it.
I am totally over post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
So I
think we all are.
Nope.
Especially including zombies. If it's zombies and post-apocalyptic, I want to shit on it, and I probably will.
I can't wait to download it.
I know. I think one that is underrepresented these days is steampunk. I like steampunk. I think it's got some cool stuff in there. The whole Victorian era with the steam is cool, but I haven't played a steampunk game in so long.
Did you play through Bioshock Infinite?
Yeah.
The whole way?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I think that was before you came onto the podcast. What did you think of the ending?
I thought it was... I had already guessed that ending.
Okay.
But it was cool.
I thought it was fitting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Cool.
For sure. And then the other... I like settings that break the mold. So for MMOs, the standard is fantasy. So if you do futuristic... If you do sci-fi, I'd be more interested. Or if you did a Western MMO, since we haven't really seen those, that's what I want. I want to diversify the setting to the game type.
Western's a great theme too. You don't see a lot of games like that.
I'd be very into a Western or maybe a modern day MMO. I think that would be really cool.
Well, modern day Secret World, but you know, that was basically fantasy because you're doing like magic and shit like that.
Right.
So they've never really done a true modern day MMO or really attempted one.
Yeah. Mm.
They did the Cops and Robbers. What was the Cops and Robbers one? APB?
Oh, APB Reloaded. I wouldn't call that an MMO.
No.
That was like more like Grand Theft Auto, like versus mode.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. That was a cool game though. All right. Got another question. Now, this was actually just asked to me in, when I was talking to one of our listeners, Crad Nortup. He was asking what's a good game to play while listening to podcasts. He had originally been listening to playing a lot of Hearthstone while listening to podcasts, which I noticed, you know, a week or two ago, I got back into Hearthstone. And I noticed that, yeah, you could totally play a game and have like a podcast going and listen to that. And when he asked me that, I didn't think of it at the time, but I said MMOs, which I think is a good answer, but I noticed that I could play Rocket League and listen to podcasts.
Really?
It's really hard to find a certain game that you can focus on that and also something else.
But you're not playing online Rocket League.
No, I was playing online.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's such a, I don't know, I think it's because it's a physics-based game and you're not having to read. Like, anytime you have to read something, then that's hard to listen and read. But for some reason, Rocket League, you can totally do that.
Well, see, Chadley over here, he plays Hearthstone with music on. Mm-hmm. He's always, like, bobbing his head. I can't do that. Like, Hearthstone, like, I gotta...
For some reason, I don't know why it is. Hearthstone, you would think that'd be a difficult one to do it with. But, yeah, he had mentioned a game, Crad had... Card Hunter, which I've heard of, but I've never played.
Hmm. Never heard of it.
Apparently, that's one.
Card Hunter. I thought that was your whole Steam.
Yeah, it sounds
basis.
Like it. Right?
yeah, Hearthstone. I would say that's right up because, like you said,
Chad doesn't listen to podcasts. In case you're wondering why he sucks on this one, that's exactly
why.
I
have a very difficult time listening to myself because I sound like a huge tool.
You know, this is a theory.
But you don't listen to any podcasts. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, you don't really listen to podcasts. Huh.
I don't have a real good time in my day to listen to them.
I mean, driving. For the, you know, that's when I driving. Listen to all my podcasts. Is
and
driving.
It's not like I stare at a computer all day or anything like that. So,
but you know, this is just a theory. But another game that I think might be really good with this is Borderlands, because that can get a little grindy sometimes, and you're just, you know, point and click shoot.
Yeah, but there's a lot of communication going on there. You know, you got to talk anything online. You can't do that with.
You know, I wouldn't say anything.
Well, anything that. Has verbal communication. You can't be listening to other names.
Yeah, and if you're like talking to somebody and a cutscene pops up, you're gonna have to stop the podcast.
That's the worst. You're playing online with even one person, and the pop screen is like, Chad keeps trying to talk to me. I'm like, dude, I gotta. I want to know what's going on here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's happened so many times. So that don't put pops those things. Maybe load them in afterwards or something. I don't know. Don't do it during online experiences. Mm. So the answer is, I don't know.
Hearthstone is, I think.
That's one you got to give some thought to, because I didn't have a good answer for this until like today when I, after a couple of days of thinking about it, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Rocket League, definitely. Hearthstone, definitely. MMOs, Borderlands.
I think it definitely depends on your brain too. Some people can multitask. Most guys can't multitask. It's singular focus.
Yeah, but our listening part of our brain does not necessarily... Like, they're two separate parts, which is why you can't read and listen at the same time, but you can play and listen at the same time, because it's accessing two different parts.
Right.
So anything that doesn't involve reading or writing, I think you could listen to podcasts while you do it.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of other ones besides us that you probably listen to while you game and stuff like that.
You would think so, but see, that's why I said that whole thing about the way your brain works. I don't think there's one game or one podcast that I can listen to. Like, I'll start to, and I'll be like, okay, I got to focus. Because, I don't know, maybe it's competitiveness or whatever.
So,
there's no answer.
Our answer is there's no answer.
I didn't next week for another
like
no answer.
Five answers. All right, let's talk about some news. Windows 10, that's news?
That comes out.
It is fucking gigantic
days.
Fucking news. Take your skeptical fucking voice.
No, I'm just saying Windows 10, that's all you have written down here.
Well, yeah, it's a conversation topic. One... Okay. Do you do it on day one?
It comes out on the 29th, by the way.
Which is in 2 days, which is after this podcast.
Tuesday.
Out.
It comes out Tuesday.
So
no, Wednesday. It comes out Wednesday.
Sure. Whatever. Do you download it first day?
Yes.
You're going to be... Okay, first of all, you're going to be dealing with everybody else downloaded it. Is it going to go slower than it would be? Do you want to wait on a review of it? I know it's free, but whatever.
Maybe, all I know is I got Windows 8.
Maybe it's going to break your shit and you hate it.
And I hate it.
That's terrible.
That experiment failed, and yeah. I wish I had never done it.
Yeah.
It might break your shit. I wish somebody had told me not to do Windows 8.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have any friends that would that said that.
Especially within 15 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, how do you back up your shit? You got to really... Like, going on a new operating system is a huge deal for a PC gamer. This is kind of like almost getting a new console.
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
It is a little bit like that.
A new UI in your console. So it's, don't just jump right into it and get like, oh, Windows 10, let me get it. Think about what you're doing, how you're going to do it, and why you're going to do it. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait maybe a week, see how it goes.
I'm going to get it day one.
Yeah, because you're sick of Windows.
Yes.
Bob? I'll probably get around to it in a few weeks. I definitely want to do it before I go back to work because it's going to be a pain in the ass to do it when I'm back in full swing.
And you'll probably have
Bob,
to do it.
Bob, you know you're our tech guy.
Yeah.
No, I'm
Yeah, I'm a very early adopter. I mean, I didn't get Windows 8 until a couple months after it had been released.
Well, I'm going to do it day one. And so I'll give you, next week, I'll give you guys an update on how my computer blew up.
Remember, Chad doesn't do anything he says he's going to do. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's also valid. I did see an article that said Windows 10 is going to have support through 2020. A normal support through 2020, and their extended support is going to go through 2025. So
yeah, well, they said that this is Windows now.
Yeah.
It's no longer Windows 11, 12, 13. This is Windows.
It's going to be an operating system more as a service rather than a product. They're going to keep updating this. So we'll probably see Windows 10.1, 10.2, 10.3, much like Mac does their operating system releases.
It's like a platform to build on.
But I'm excited about this because they're going to have DirectX 12, you know, in a gaming perspective. That's going to make a huge deal. And you know what's interesting is I've got a friend who's got an old video card, and he's not able to play certain games. I recently talked him into getting Killing Floor 2, and his video card does not support DirectX 11. And several games, including Rise of the Incarnates and Killing Floor 2, Rise of Incarnates.
Yeah, don't get it twisted, dude.
I think that's just like because it's a Japanese game that was translated.
I think
because
there's so many Incarnates, you can't just say those are the ones. They're popping up all over the place.
Rise of Incarnates.
It's a new revenue stream. Some people are like, "Oh, I think I'll be an incarnate now."
I think it's because it comes from Japan, and they have a weird title. It's like, what's that Metal Gear one that always cracks me up? It's like Ground Zeroes. Like
Ground Zeroes. Yeah,
Metal Gear Ground Zeroes. That reminds me of that Key and Peele skit when they're talking about the Batmans. You know, like every time I hear that, I'm like,
"You know nothing about the Batmans."
If you don't know what that skit is, look it up on YouTube. But anyway.
Can't be all funny.
They're ending their... this is going to be their last season. It's a bummer.
Yeah. What?
That sucks.
Add some news.
Yeah, whoa. Seriously.
But I forgot what I
and
was
And on that bombshell...
DirectX...
Oh, DirectX 12. 11. 12. Yeah, but Killing Floor 2 and Rise of Incarnates default to DirectX 11. And if you have an older video card that only supports up to 10, then you'll just get an error message whenever trying to play that. To play Killing Floor 2, you can run a launch option in Steam, -DX10 will force it to run DirectX 10. But it just didn't occur to me until now.
How about you give your buddy the one that you're trying to sell?
Yeah.
It seems like...
No, I don't like him that much. Come on. But I realized that DirectX 11 is becoming the default standard. I mean, shit, a lot more time's passed than I thought. And
yeah,
maybe we are ready for DirectX 12. And, you know, that API, that Mantle that AMD had is... that's failing. They're not going to support that anymore. They kind of came out and said, you know... you should probably look into other options or something.
Really?
Yeah. So Mantle isn't going to happen, but DirectX 12 offers a lot of the benefits that Mantle had. So yeah, DirectX 12 I think is going to be a big boost to the game.
Bob, to the layman's, can you explain DirectX?
It's an API. I mean, the best way to explain it is it's not quite a driver. It's not quite a...
it's a series.
It's how the game talks to the card.
It's a code library, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's how the game talks to the card?
Kind of.
Tells the card what to do?
API stands for Application Programmable Interface. So it's just something that goes kind of in between the drivers and the card that helps them communicate better. And you can get a lot of benefits, a lot more performance out of that.
And why? Otherwise. Why is Microsoft seem to be, if maybe they're not the leader, why seem to be the? You know, they are the leader. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's other versions or.
There's
people wait for a Microsoft version.
Well, what's the open source one? OpenGL?
GL, yeah.
Yeah, which is the one that...
which I never click because the graphics always look worse.
Yeah. It's not as worse, but it's widely supported. You can use that on a Mac, you can use it on Linux, you can use it on whatever. But yeah, it doesn't have a lot of options, and that's why Windows has been such a dominant gaming platform. It's because of DirectX and...
Why? There's so many things. Okay, we're in a capitalist society. Why isn't there a competitor?
Well, that's what AMD tried to do with Mantle, but it didn't work out. I mean, they've gotten so advanced now that it's really difficult to do that.
It's interesting.
The barriers to entry is probably really high.
Yeah. That's probably the... Wow.
Well, I mean, but that's one good thing to look forward to with Windows 10, DirectX 12. And if you got a fairly new card, it should support that. And hopefully games are going to start coming out that enable that.
It's going to be backwards compatible, so we can play old games too. Well, I really meant that question, actually. Will you be able to play anything on it?
Well,
on Windows 10? Yeah, you should be able to. Windows has a pretty good compatibility. You can right-click on any application and go and set the compatibility for, like, Windows 98, 95, like, whatever. And sometimes
you just said right-click. You just confused all our Mac listeners.
Yeah.
There's a right-click on Mac. It's just disabled by default. A lot of people don't know that.
That's true.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Mac mouses now are right or left. So what else are we talking about in the news?
This might hit 10,000 players, 10 million players. Just have to bring that up because I fucking love this game. I'm glad that it's growing. I haven't even played in 4 months.
They have a new character that came out just a little bit ago.
They always the have squirrel? A new character.
After the squirrel.
What?
Rabin.
Which is what?
He is a melee guy that has a lot of melee kind of stuff. He looks cool, but he doesn't look overpowered. He's an assassin type.
I think I've seen him. He's like a wrestler maybe, like throws people around.
No. He has like a little cone attack. He's got a little dash attack.
It's getting kind of repetitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, 10 million. It's growing. The other ones are kind of stagnant, I think. Well, except for Dota. Dota's fucking crushing it. It's up to like $15 million
in the tournament. It's $17 million right now. It's one
when
of
is the next international? That's coming
That's
up.
That's coming up August 3rd through the 8th, I believe. I know IGN has a spot where you can actually watch the tournament live on IGN.
No.
They were
showing the final. Last year I mentioned I went to that final game they're showing at Balboa Park. They actually, some guy rented out a theater and invited, like he posted on Facebook and a bunch of other areas and a bunch of people showed up. So if they do that again, I'm going. Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do that for sure.
Dota is a blast to watch, but I need to get up to speed on their characters and their lingo and some of their other stuff.
Are they still adding characters in Dota?
Oh yeah,
like they are in other MOBAs.
It's like all MOBAs. They just.
But I gotta say, maybe. Well, I don't know. I'm just proud of Smite. That's all I can say about that. Shadowrun Hong Kong, which is I guess another.
Is it an expansion or a standalone?
It looks like an expansion. Comes out August 20th. Are you guys excited about it?
You know what's funny is I'm not. I played the first one, loved it. Played the second one. I'm like, it's the exact same thing, really. Minor benefits. And they're really heavy on the dialogue in the Shadowrun games.
It's like reading a book.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Really good,
though.
You didn't finish the first. Yeah, very clever writing.
Yeah, for sure.
Great turn-based combat, but it spreads it out so much that it's hard to
get you into can it. Feel the tabletop gaming on this because in tabletop
it came from that
in tabletop that it's not like combat like it is. It's a lot of like talking to people, building up your party and all, and you can feel that in these Shadowrun games,
which is probably a good thing for the Shadowrun fans. But
yeah, the fans love it.
I put it up there because I thought you guys both liked it. Anyway, Hearthstone's Grand Tournament came out.
It's
going to come out next month. And it has 123 new cards.
It's just card packs, though.
It's just card. Yeah, there's nothing really coming out.
Like similar to the Goblins.
Yeah, they're going back and forth.
Yeah.
There's a new
mechanic
called Inspire.
Keyword.
Sure, whatever. Whatever you want to call it. It's called Inspire, which means anytime you do your hero ability, it triggers this.
There's a lot of
vice versa.
Yeah, there's a lot of hero power ability
a lot.
Mechanics.
Like you can lower the cost of it. You can do it twice a turn. You can do it infinity.
You can it'll change it to more powerful versions of it. There's a card that actually its cost goes down based on how many times you've used your hero power in the entire game.
It's all based on hero powers, which is cool. It was a mechanic that they hadn't really exploited.
Yeah.
And now they have.
I'm still mad that they haven't done monks yet, but that's all another thing.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I find odd here is that they are doing the Grand Tournament pack, and it's 50 packs plus a unique card back for $50.
That's really good.
It's a good price because normally their $50 pack is 40 cards.
Yeah.
So you get 10 extra packs and you get a card back for it.
Right.
But $50, like, $50 people have already spent hundreds of dollars.
A dollar a pack sounds really good.
It is. It's just like, because you could buy a whole new game or you could buy a 50 pack of Hearthstone. Yeah. It's just, it brings it into stark light
how
much money.
You need to fucking delete Hearthstone. Not because it's a bad game, but so you could focus on.
But I just went 12-0 today.
What?
I went 12-0.
Nobody cares. Not one person.
I care.
Well, yeah.
And Bobby cares.
Well, nobody likes you.
Okay. What else are we talking about?
I think that's about it.
Oh.
We already talked about.
The one last note was Deus Ex, the new one that's coming out. They made a point to say that no matter how you're playing, the boss fights will accommodate however you're playing. So you can actually use stealth to them.
That was my big complaint about the last one.
Yeah. And that's why I brought it up, because I thought that was a cool thing that it's the one downside that a lot of Deus Ex players had, and they're addressing it for this one.
Yeah, cool. I can't stress enough that the interview went really well, so please listen to what's coming up right after this.
Yeah.
We're going to have some really cool contests coming up. Really going to push that review thing. I know people listen. If it wasn't for podcasts, I wouldn't have iTunes. It's literally the only thing. And there's not a whole lot of podcasts I get through iTunes. I just the ones that are only on there. So if we're the only thing you listen to, only podcasts or whatever, just go through iTunes, and we're going to have some really cool prizes going through there. And
so next week we're giving out... Are we giving out a Steam card next week?
We'll just announce it now. I want to get. We'll talk about it later. But maybe next week we'll announce it totally. But anybody else got anything?
Nope. Just check us out at dlgaming.net. That's our website. Again, dlgaming.net. You can get to everything on there. Our Twitter account, Steam, YouTube, Twitch, all that. We're pretty active on Twitter and our Steam group. If you have any questions for the show, gaming related or not, just post them up there. We got a thread for that. You can also friend us on Steam, play some games with us. We're definitely open to that.
Some Rocket League, maybe.
Yep. Always down for some Rocket League.
Some Heroes of the Storm with Bobby.
Yeah. Hit me up on Battle.
But only hit him up if you're good.
Yeah. Pro players only. Take a bunch of Ritalin and then you can play with me.
Yeah. Adderall. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess that's about it. So we're going to take it over to our interview with Lab Monkey about QuakeCon.
All right. We got Tom, who's not so live from QuakeCon, a little bit after live. But he was there in DL Gaming Spirit. Sent him as a little drone to do my bidding. Not so much. I really actually wanted to be there. Bobby's actually thinking about going next year. He's planning out. I already saw him like moving some chips over to his vacation, like getaway. I'm sure his girlfriend's going to be super happy about, hey, we're going to QuakeCon, baby.
No, she's not coming.
Oh.
No, I did all the research this year, and I planned to go, and I priced it out, and I think it would have been about $1,000, for everything to go this year, but it didn't look like it was going to happen. But next year, I always think I'm going to be richer in the future. It never happens.
But, yeah, Thomas, a.k.a. Lab Monkey, he's a big contributor to the podcast. He was there, and we have him on the line. You can hear him snickering. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. So, what's up, man? Let's get right into it. Give me your like biggest impressions. What happened there was like, well, I guess we should preface this with what is QuakeCon. This is something, an annual convention that id used to put on, but now it's held by Bethesda since Bethesda bought them out. But Bethesda is my favorite company, and id might be Bobby's favorite company, so there's going to be some sexual stuff there.
Yeah. Well, Tom, how would you describe QuakeCon just in general?
So I mean, officially it is the biggest LAN party in North America. I don't even know how many people came this year, but it was a few thousand.
Yeah. And that's what I tell a lot of people, because there's a lot of big conventions out there, BlizzCon, you know, even E3, but QuakeCon is the biggest LAN party, which is just a bunch of people in a big room playing games. And if you look at the pictures online, it's massive. It's incredible. It's like a sea of computers.
And that was like my biggest takeaway is, you know, you have these things like, you know, E3 and BlizzCon and MineCon even these days. Mm-hmm. But I think the difference was those are kind of, you know, they feel like just huge marketing stunts almost. Like they're showing demos, they're having presentations. And, you know, there are only two presentations at QuakeCon, and the rest of it is just like people playing games. And like it's there for people to celebrate. Yeah, it's about the gaming. Right, and I think I calculated in three sessions of gaming at QuakeCon, I played 50 hours of games.
Damn.
Wow.
Now, in the past, didn't they used to restrict you to just id games?
Not that I know of. So the guys I went with, this is my first year, because I haven't been in Dallas too long. I went with some veterans who it was their five-year QuakeCon. I've never heard of that. I know, like, so kind of the main tournament is Quake, but I mean, no, man. This year they had, like, a Rocket League tournament. They had a CSGO tournament. They had a League of Legends tournament. I mean, you can pretty much play whatever you want with whoever you want, whenever you want. It's pretty awesome.
How'd you get linked up with those dudes?
I'm just friends, guys that I know. Just guys who grew up in Texas, and so they were telling me, I've wanted to go for the past few years that I've been here, but like I always had to work, and this year I was like, you know what? QuakeCon comes first, so I just called in sick both days and
priorities, bro.
Exactly, priorities.
I keep looking in Craigslist, men looking for men, but like nothing about video games in there. I've looked a lot. A lot of pictures, not a lot of video games.
And you know, to Bobby's point, there were a surprising amount of girls there. And so there were like two camps that the girls were in, right? There was some of the girls were just straight up gamer girls and like they were there to game. But then there were like those girls you could tell got dragged there by their boyfriends, significant others, or husbands. But you know what I found out is that like even those girls who aren't really gamers, dude, they loved Rocket League.
Dude, like, it's so much fun.
The moment they played Rocket League, they were in it.
We played it this week, so don't steal our thunder. We're going to talk about that.
We're talking about Rocket League. That's a great game.
Yeah. Although I will say though, that was the unexpected hit. You would just walk around and you would see everyone playing that game.
Got it. What a visual way to see what's popular. You know, not just seeing, like, top sellers on Steam, but actually see people playing, like a sea of people playing one game.
Actual people, it's crazy.
That's also the other thing I thought was really interesting is, walking around, you could see, like, oh, these games are big. And I thought it speaks really well to, I think you guys made this point, you know, last week or the week before, or maybe you say it every week, but how TF2 is just kind of that common denominator for all PC gamers. Yeah, because you know that game was another huge game. Like so many people were playing TF2, and it was just, you know, it's been years since that game came out, but because everyone has it and everyone can play it, you know, there was a ton of people still doing so.
So I have a couple questions as far as this big LAN thing. One, what, like, somebody's there to hack, right? There's got to be some people there hacking, and isn't that super easy to do, like during over LAN, or is it? I'm computer illiterate, so. Is it just as easy or harder to do it over the internet than you would a LAN?
I mean, we were technically, so this year, I think, and there were some people kind of complaining about this, is that to make it easier on the infrastructure, they actually technically split everyone up into like 15 or 16 different LANs because, you know, this isn't, so it started in 1996, right? And back then, everyone was on one LAN, but now that it's 2015, I mean, you want to play with someone next to you, you're not actually going to set up a LAN. You're just going to play online, you know, through Steam.
Yeah.
I did think about that when we got there.
Not as big of a deal anymore because you're right. Everyone's just playing through Steam on the internet anyway, so it's not a lot of local play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There wasn't that much local play. The only local play they really do is just for, like, the tournaments and stuff like that. But even, like, the CSGO tournament, they didn't bother setting up a LAN. It was still just online.
Hmm. Now, not just, like, security problems with, like, viruses and stuff like that, but my biggest concern when I was looking into going was, you know, if I leave, I was planning on taking my laptop just because it was light and easy, but I was concerned about leaving it there on the desk. Now, do they have stuff in place? I know they check stuff at the door when you're coming in and out, but do you feel like your computer is pretty secure there when you're not at it?
Yeah, so I guess it, because I was wondering the same thing. Because, you know, I have a laptop as well, and I brought, you know, nice headphones, nice gaming mouse, keyboard, and all that kind of stuff. But only people that bring stuff are allowed into the, like, computer area.
So they tag you or stamp you or something?
Yeah, so you can only check... So they don't check your peripherals, but you check in a computer and a monitor. And so I had a laptop, so I brought a laptop and a monitor. And so they assign, like, you as a person to those devices. So when you check out, technically they should be able to scan it and say, okay, you own these two things. But the other thing is, you know, everyone has something to lose. So it's like everyone just kind of mutually respected each other. Like, you could just leave your stuff out and no one was going to touch it because, you know, they brought their own stuff. It was,
yeah,
it was kind of like a mutual trust thing, and none of my friends had ever had anything stolen. It just kind of worked out the way.
You're kind of amongst friends. Yeah, exactly. You're amongst friends in a way, or like-minded people.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I've never been, there's always been a really good vibe at things like that. When Comic-Con comes to town and, like, I go to a lot of comedy shows or whatever the hell's going on, like, just the people there, you can tell, like, these are your peers and stuff. So I could see that happening. But it's good to know they do have some sort of, like, hard security there set up to enforce that. Because there are some really nice rigs. Like, if you watch some of these YouTube videos, like, people bring their showy rigs to kind of show off. And
yeah, so is there, like, a pageant or whatever?
I mean, no, not really officially. There are some crazy setups. The craziest thing I saw this year, and you guys will like this. There was a guy that made a full scale TF2 level 1 Sentry.
It was his PC?
That was his PC.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the entire thing, so it moved, and the entire thing was 3D printed. So it looked exactly like the one in the game.
Wow.
And while he was it was crazy. And he said he built it for only $500, all the parts and stuff.
Shit. Oh, wait, like, well, the components, not including the components, right?
Yeah, not including the computer.
Okay.
The
hardware.
But even then, so, I mean, he built it purely to play TF2. And, like, while he's playing TF2, the turret will do, like, its scanning pattern. Like, it moves.
Wow.
Yeah,
dude,
it was crazy.
That guy just started a business, and he's going to kill it. He sells them for $1,000. He's gonna make.
Yeah. Dude, Case Mod is a hard business to get into. It took off there for a while, but you don't see so much of it anymore. And it's a lot of people kind of just doing their own thing.
You said a level 1 Sentry, right?
Yeah, level 1. Yeah, level 3 out of it.
Yeah.
You
would have broke the internet, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what kind of happens is the people with the sickest rigs tend to get the aisle spots. As you're walking down the aisle, you can kind of see all the cool ones.
Nice.
Yeah, next year, man, we got to go. Bring the camera, little ENG kit.
Guys, so it's really hard to take pictures inside because they turn off all the lights. So the only lights illuminating the room are like the LEDs from the computers.
Yeah. Wow. That's like some sort of, technical rave or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so did you attend both of the events? Or both
so
of the announcements.
I didn't attend the Doom presentation because it wasn't. So the Fallout presentation, yes.
Tom, you had one job. You were supposed to go to this presentation. That was the one job. All right. Forget this.
Don't worry about it. Doris. Yeah, I'll explain to you why I didn't go to the Doom one. And it's because I won the tourney. Like, I got shoutcasted and I top fragged. And I figured, like, well, I can't. Why go to the Doom presentation? I already won the game.
Damn! All right, you're back in my good graces.
So the Doom presentation wasn't even a real presentation. It was basically just like on a tiny stage, not even in a big conference room. And the guys, it wasn't even like Todd Howard or any of the creators or anything. It was just some of like the art guys, I think, just kind of chatting about it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. There was no new information out on the, you know, E3. They pretty much blew their load on E3.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing coming out of them that I saw was a quote, which is a great quote. And you tell me after playing it if it's accurate. that Doom is Bruce Lee with a shotgun on a skateboard.
I would say that's accurate, but I would also say he has a shotgun and a rocket launcher. It's not just a shotgun. Yeah. I guess, do you guys want to get right into Doom then?
No, yeah. I want to get into this tournament that you played in. What did you do?
So how it worked with the multiplayer they had two tables set up, right? And then there were six people on each side. So they basically had 24 people playing at once, four teams of six. So you would sit down with your team, and if you won that, right, then they had a stage set up. And if you won that, you would go onto the stage and fight the winner of the other
side.
The other match. Yeah, exactly. Wow. And so the first time I went, all my friends were too lame. They didn't want to go. So I was like, oh, fuck you guys. I'm going to play some Doom. That's what we're here for. So my team got crushed the first time I did it. But because I didn't have any friends with me, they used like the single people to keep filling in for like the groups. So I immediately got to go again with a group of five people that had played the demo like 10 times in a row.
Nice.
So they were amazing. So we won that, and then we got up on stage.
Did you get carried a little bit?
Oh, I got absolutely carried. Absolutely.
Nice.
Because these guys are fantastic. So we got on stage, and they're six-minute matches, so they're really quick, really fast-paced. So we get on stage, and the timer runs out, and it's 65-65. And the other team has the demon, so I'm like, oh, we're fucked. Like, they've got the demon, they're going to just...
What's that mean? Ooh, what's the demon mean?
So the demon, they showed it in the E3 in multiplayer. It's like a power-up you get.
Uh-huh.
You basically run into a demonic circle, and then you turn into... I don't remember his name. The Revenant, I think that's his name. Uh-huh. It's just the skeleton with a jetpack and two rocket launchers on his shoulders.
Okay, yeah.
So they have the demon, so I thought we were done for. But then someone on our team just lobbed a rocket and got someone, and we won it 66-65 in overtime.
Wow.
So
that was the final game?
No, that was the final game of Friday, I think.
Wow.
And then I played again the last game on, last game was Saturday, so it was the last game of the whole thing, and that's when I top fragged, and my friends were on the other team, and they bottom fragged, so I just made fun of them and told them they should uninstall other games.
Awesome. Were they, now, obviously, this is a nice feather in your cap, but was there any kind of physical prize? There should have been.
No, there wasn't. The prizes seemed light this year. A lot of people said, like before, they did really serious League of Legends tournaments in the past, and one of my friends actually won a car at QuakeCon from League of Legends tournament. This year, the Quake tournament, I think they gave away around like 50,000 to all the different people, but they didn't do anything for Doom. I'm guessing because it was so new. That was great.
Now, the stage that I did the shoutcasted on was not nearly what you did, but man, isn't it a nice feeling?
Yeah, it's crazy. And the only bad part, though, is so I got the Gauss rifle at one point, and that you can see people through walls, and it's basically like a sniper rifle rocket launcher. Like wherever you hit, you get massive splash damage. So if you shoot in between people, you just insta kill them. I got that gun right. And I turned around, and there was a guy with a shoddy, and he was shoutcasting me, and I whiffed it, and the guy just killed me and took it.
Ugh.
It was like, oh, man, that's embarrassing. Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't really interested in Doom. You know, it wasn't like my first FPS or anything, so I played it, but it doesn't have that special place in my heart. But after playing the multiplayer a few times, I'm absolutely sold on it. It was just fantastically fun.
Nice. Yeah. Bob, you got anything on Doom?
No, it all sounds pretty awesome. I mean, I'm glad does it feel like they're focusing a little bit more on multiplayer? Because in Doom 3, it was like, they threw in multiplayer, but it was really just there to be there. It was totally unnecessary. No one played it.
Yeah, the multiplayer, I'd say, is definitely the focus. Because they, I mean, there's so many crazy power-ups. And have you guys played Time Splitters at all?
I did. I played that a lot.
Okay, yeah, so I played that a lot too. And a lot of people are equating it to that. Like, it has that kind of feel. Like that really arcadey, fast feel to it, and like combined with the map editor that's coming with it, I think it's going to be, I don't know, probably like that level of fun for me.
Nice.
So there's no sprint button, so it's not like one of these new age sprint games, but there is a double jump and automatic climb, so there's a lot of verticality to the maps, which I like.
Okay.
But there's also no sprint, so you don't just sprint around a corner, stop moving, shoot, and sprinting.
I read something about a new gun that's charged up by sprinting.
Yeah, so I actually never used that gun, so you can
sprint while you have that gun. Maybe.
Yeah, so that gun, I've read the description, but I didn't use it because there were like 8 guns in the demo, but I basically just used the rocket launcher and shotgun.
Yeah, like a fucking man.
Yeah,
the shotgun. Like a grown-ass man.
Fantastic, and I got some good executions as well.
That's the physical melee thing?
Yeah, so if you come up behind someone, and I don't know if it's triggered by like them having a certain amount of health or what, or if they're glowing red, I couldn't quite tell because it's so frantic. You just can't really pay attention. So I did it a few times when I would get someone from behind with a shotgun, but it wouldn't always kill them if they had gotten armor or something. And you press F, and it's kind of like Halo, where you'll lunge like about 6 feet, so you don't have to be right next to them to do it. You'll do a bit of a lunge, and then if you're behind them, you'll just snap their neck or something like that.
Nice. Is there any way to interrupt that, or is it once you initiate?
No. So I couldn't even tell if I was taking damage, because there were times when I would rush into a group of like 3 people and do it, and they couldn't kill me until I had finished the animation.
It's the same thing with Battlefield 4, I've noticed. Like, if you melee someone up close, then it'll go through an animation that takes a little bit more time. And it will eventually kill them for sure, but you can get killed in the process, but you won't actually die until you've completed it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So it was kind of like that. So that gun, I want to say that was a shotgun. So they had a plasma rifle, which is, you know, standard plasma rifle. They had the super shotgun, which was awesome. They had the rocket launcher, which pretty much everyone used. So there's no messing around. Like, the rocket launcher is your main weapon. You just spawn with the rocket launcher.
Wow.
Is there a rocket launcher?
Fuck pistols.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of them had alternate fire as well. So, like, the rocket launcher, if you can't get the splash damage or you're going to whiff someone, you can press alternate fire, which is right mouse button, to detonate it in midair.
Nice.
So if someone dodges your rocket and they think they're hot shit, you just detonate it, you still get them.
So you could get splash damage in midair, basically.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, absolutely. Nice. So, normally with a rocket launcher, you have to get critical or direct hit or else you've whiffed it, but no, you can detonate these. Nice. Then there was a sniper rifle. That was pretty good. Because of how arcadey it is, though, kind of like TF2, it takes a lot of practice to get good at getting headshots with that. Just because the movement is so quick.
Now, does it seem like there's going to be more than one game mode other than just, I'm assuming, deathmatch and team deathmatch? Like, is there going to be capture the flag?
Yeah, I would assume so. So they didn't say anything about it. You were not allowed to take pictures or anything of it. I accidentally did and didn't realize it. So I have some illegal pictures of Doom.
Got some hot pics.
On my phone, yeah, I hope they don't come and, like, confiscate it from me. So all they had was team deathmatch. And it was crazy, the two main power-ups. So they had, like, invisibility. They had the quad damage. So really, unlike COD, where you just run around trying to get frags, this was kind of harkens back to the old ages, where it's much more about knowing the map and knowing where the power-ups are. Like, that is how you win, is you know where stuff spawns. I kind of like that. It's all more about map control. Like, when the demon spawns, it shows up on everyone's screen. So both teams just go at it in the middle trying to get the demon.
Nice. Yeah. Anything about graphics to mention?
Yeah, it looks fantastic. It looks. Yeah. Obviously these are, insane rigs.
Right.
I think Alienware was a huge sponsor this year as well as MSI.
Yeah.
So insane rigs, but yeah, the graphics look fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, cool. This is running on the new id Tech engine. I can't wait to see.
So we got to get moving, but I need to hear. How did Fallout 4 look and feel?
Fallout 4 looked really good. They didn't let us play it, but we got to go in. We saw a demo. So there's an embargo on showing stuff. I'm not sure how much I'm supposed to say.
Okay.
But there were a few huge takeaways. The main thing, though, without spoiling anything, is that I think the number one thing people didn't like about Fallout 3 was that the gunplay was awful unless you were using VATS.
Right.
I mean, it was just garbage.
Yeah, it was really bad.
This it looks a lot more tight. I mean, it's like you can effectively use guns without using VATS.
Go either way.
A huge improvement. It was a lot more traditional movement and aim down sights and a lot smoother. And that really blew me away. That's the first thing I noticed.
Nice.
And then the other half of their presentation was just kind of cool historical stuff about it. This isn't really a spoiler, but, they made a big thing at E3 about how they're going to have Mr. Handy record a bunch of popular used names.
So yeah, I saw some of that.
Their names. So he Todd Howard came out and he played a reel for us of all the different names that are recorded. And he's like, yeah, these are all the names. These are popular English names as well as some of the names that we know you guys like to choose. So it went through John and Tim, and then it started to get into Marty McFly and all these. And then the last one before it cut, you walk up to the robot and he says, "Good morning, Mr. Fuckface."
It's a good touch. I saw there's a Mr. Titties as well. So I think they were thinking they had us in mind when they did that. Obviously.
So that was great. And then they gave us all these masks. I don't know if you saw any pictures of them, but they're basically the masks of the guy in Fallout Shelter.
Really
cartoony. The blonde hair. So they gave us all these masks, and they didn't tell Todd Howard. So the PR guy came out before he came out and told us that, yo, everyone put on the mask. So Todd Howard came out, and he was just freaked out. He's like, this is creepy as shit. Why is everyone wearing all these creepy masks?
One of those faces is creepy.
It was... so that was a great presentation.
Nice. Sweet.
And I did the QuakeCon Done Quick, which I'll just throw this on there. I highly recommend it. It's a lot more expensive, but you don't have to wait in any lines. Mm. So overall, it's going to save you a lot of time. And then I was taking notes during the presentation, on my phone, and they're really strict about recording. And he was like, "Hey man, you can't be doing that." I'm like, "Yo, but I'm pressed. I'm taking notes for a podcast." He said, "Oh, sorry, dude. Go ahead."
Nice, dude.
I was like, "Oh, that's right. Pulling the DL Gaming podcast card."
Yeah, if you would have said which one, you would have got kicked out immediately. But whatever. Okay, awesome. Cool. Two more things, or one more thing, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah.
The Rocket League tournament. How many hours did you play? Did it ever get boring? And how did you do?
Yeah, so I didn't play in the Rocket League tourney because it was 2v2, and all my
lose my number, bro.
Yeah, and all my friends suck at that game, so we didn't play. And it was 3 in the morning on the second or third day, so I was really tired. And then so after this, there is one last thing I want to talk about. And so it was pretty good. So we downloaded it all. I had never played it before QuakeCon, but I had it. I was waiting. I was saving it for this. So there were a group of 8 of us that came just in our group. And so we downloaded it on Thursday, which was the first day of QuakeCon. And we all got our controllers, and without getting up to take a piss, we played for 8 hours.
Damn.
Just the first day. And the only reason we stopped is because I was in physical pain from holding down the right trigger that entire time.
Yeah. Now, I did want to ask, are most people playing that game with a keyboard mouse or with a controller?
Everyone with controller, because they even recommend it. Mm-hmm. And we tried to play with one guy that didn't have a controller, and we just had to cut him because he sucked too much, because keyboard and mouse is just not, I don't know, it's just not
for
really
Bobby. You can't tell Bobby any other way, man. Bobby's still rocking the mouse and keyboard. He actually came over here in a horse and buggy.
I don't know if I can get used to the controller game. I'll give it a shot, but I saw at the beginning of the game they recommend
everyone is using controller.
Nice. So what's the last point you wanted to end up?
Yeah, so the last thing is, last year they had an Oculus Rift, and all my friends had tried it out, but for some reason the guy that brought it just showed everyone porn on it.
Right.
So this year I really wanted to see Oculus Rift, so there was a QuakeCon Reddit, so I found where the guy was. And I just want to give props to this guy, because he spent hours of his time, giving people demos of Oculus Rift.
Mm, nice. What version did he have? Which version?
So he had the DK2.
Okay.
So I had never used any VR before. And I was like, man, I really want to try this before I go. So he had Elite Dangerous nice. In VR. And I feel like that's the game you need to play to sell yourself on VR. And it was fantastic. So the DK2, the res was still a little bit low, but it just totally blew my mind and totally sold me on the VR experience.
Yeah, Elite Dangerous would be the best game to play. I mean, the Oculus works so good in a cockpit setting.
And not just that. Have you played Elite Dangerous? It feels like VR without even putting on goggles. Then you put on goggles, and I'm sure it's a whole new thing.
So I've never actually played that. I've played Star Citizen, and I figure they're similar enough, Space Sims. But this was just really cool. And I think kind of reinforces the point that I hear a lot, that it's hard to understand VR and really get hyped about it until you try it. Because until you kind of experience that, just truly being in another world and being able to look up or turn your head sideways and see, other control panels, It's just really something you can't explain to other people.
Definitely. It's an experience you can't translate through video.
Yeah, exactly.
Telling someone about it. Yeah. Yeah, and that should be coming up soon. They got a release date on that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I mean, by next E3, I think all three major VRs are going to be out.
I think so, too. All right, Tommy, thanks for the info.
Thank you.
Nice work.
Yeah, you guys really need to go next year.
Yeah.
It's just hard to put into words. Kind of the camaraderie you feel, because, you know, you can sit in your house and be like, you know, I'm a PC gamer. I get on Steam. I see the communities. But until you go and you're with thousands of other people, just playing PC games. Like, you know, we're playing TF2, and the guys behind us are like, oh, shit, you guys are playing TF2? I was like, yeah. I'm like, okay, let's hop in the server. And all of a sudden there were, you know, 12 of us just in the server together playing TF2.
Nice. And now, would we be the oldest people there, though?
No, dude. There were some, I mean, there were guys that were edging 50, 60 in there.
Cool. Awesome, dude. Actually, this went really well. So, David is winning. He's actually going to do the same thing for PAX. So it's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yes, he's going to start a whole thing.
PAX Prime is
in Washington.
Coming up? Oh, PAX Prime.
Okay. Yeah, Prime.
Yeah. We don't fuck around with those little shows, man. This is
Where is Chad? Did you kick him out because this was for the real gamers to talk, or what?
Well, we only have two headphones when we're recording calls like this, so only two of us can deal with. Yeah, he's in his room doing something.
Chad. Yeah, he's beating off. Man. All right, bro. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot.
See you, man. Yeah, later. I'll be on tonight if you want a game.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, bye.